middle of Perek Yesh Bechorot, the dinim of Pidyon Aben. And now we left off by the Mishnah, Memtes on the base. The Mishnah is going to tell us how much they have to give for the purpose of Pidyon Aben. You have to give five shkolim. How much is the five shkolim? So first we'll give a little background. There is a Mishnah in Bava Metzia and Daf Nunhei Amud Aleph. The Gemara alludes to it here in the sugya. We'll get to it. Mishnah says Chamish Prut the same. There are five dinim that depend on a Shavah Pruta. So one din Ho'ishim is Kadeshes B'Shavah Pruta. If you Mekadosh and Isha, you have to make sure that the Kesef is worth a Shavah Pruta. There's either Kiddushi Kesef Shtar Avia. So Kiddushi Kesef is either good Kesef or Shavah Kesef. And it has to be at least a Shavah Pruta. And Bisham, I disagree, has to be a dinar. We'll have to discuss how much is a dinar and how much is a Pruta. The Mishnah has a whole bunch of dinar. Pidyan Hegdish has to be a minimum of Shavah Pruta. Pidyan Maisusheni has to be a minimum of a Shavah Pruta. Let's say Pidyan Hegdish, let's say Hegdish has a candy that sells five for a penny. And I want to be paid one of the candies. So I can't give, even if there is a. You can be paid a Hegdish on Shabbat Kesef also. Let's say I want to be paid the candy of Hegdish. It sells five for a penny, but you can't be paid a Hegdish less than the Shabbat Kutz. So I'll give something else that's worth that amount, the Hegdish. So the Mishnah says he can't be paid it with less than the Shabbat Kutz. So if I can give a dollar, Hegdish can accept donations. I want to donate money to Hegdish. You can donate money. So if you want to be paid a Hegdish that's worth less than the Shavah Pruta by giving $100, just like you can give a donation, you can be paid it with more. Mais Tusheni cannot accept donations. So if you have Mais Tusheni that's worth less than the Shavah Pruta, you cannot be paid it by giving $5 or by giving a nickel that's more than the Shavah Pruta. Because Hegdish, you can give more. You can give more than the value of that. My Sushane, you can. So let's say you buy, I remember years ago, the Yeshiva boys in Eretz didn't trust the Rabbanut and the Hashgacha and the soda. So the soda has a little bit of flavoring from a fruit. How much flavoring does it have? A mashu, the mashu. So they didn't trust the Rabbanut, so they were mafrish a little bit. Struma, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, then there would be paid in the Maisa Sheni. But the whole Maisa Sheni should bow. The whole thing is worth less than a Shavah Pruta. How can you be paid less than a Shavah Pruta? You can only pay the Hegdash, only pay the Maisa Sheni if you're giving a Shavah Pruta. So Hegdash you can give more than the value of the Hegdash, but Maisa Sheni, the Ramam Kosi Rishon, you can't. So the Gemara in Perek HaZohar has a din. The Yeshiva guys call it today Pruta Chamura. The term comes from the Sefer of the Chazon Ish. So Pruta Chamura, what they refer to as Pruta Chamura means the following. If I have a big coin, let's say I have a silver dollar. Let's say I have a silver dollar. And we ought to discuss that then too. Usually Shavah Kesef is Kekesef. Let's say I want to be Mekadosh and Isha, so I give a ring. So a ring is not kesef. Kesef means legal tender. It doesn't have to do whether it's silver or it's not silver. Paper money, pay pash, this is also legal tender. It says, it's printed on the dollar bill. It says, this is legal tender. According to the din of the machusa, you have to accept it in payment of any debts. So that's in Choshem Ish, but there's a whole discussion. How far does the din of the machusa din apply? Some Mishnayim hold it only applies with respect to taxation. Different opinions. Different opinion how far to go. So there's a Shach in Yerudeya of all places in Hilchas Ribbis. It's not in Choshev Ishpah. Shach in Yerudeya writes, it's the Shach in Yerudeya in Hilchas Ribbis. So he writes, when it gets to determining whether it's Kesef or Shavah Kesef, whenever you need Dafke Kesef, let's say, by Pidyon Maisusheni. It says a few times kesef, so only kesef, shavah kesef is not acceptable. So so the Shach writes in Ilchas Ribbis, everyone agrees over there that that's an application of din d'malchus hadin. That depends on what the government of that country declares as legal tender, whatever they declare. if they hold paper money as legal tender. So the Pashto says that paper money is considered kesef. That's a discussion that comes in the Chasam Sofer as the Chuvas. The Pizchei Chuv and Choshe Mishpat and Hilchei Shavuos Adayam Soon Peches Pilpas about that Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says that maybe paper money is considered a shtar because it means it doesn't really have intrinsic value. Years ago, the Matbeis, the coins that were minted by the to a certain degree, had a significant intrinsic value, and then they had to a certain extent, they had representative value. It wasn't really worth the full amount. Let's say this is a $10 silver coin. So the silver shabob wasn't really worth $10, it was worth less. But the government had either bars of gold or bars of silver in Fort Knox, whatever. So the coins that they minted had representative value. So that's a question. What if it's a piece? What if it's just a piece of paper? Let's say I have a $100 bill. The value of the $100 bill is this, the piece of paper shabot is the same value as a single dollar bill, same value as a $1,000 bill. It's all the same. It doesn't correspond at all to the amount that it represents. That's what the Chasam Sofer said, that maybe that doesn't have a din of kesef, maybe has a din of shavah kesef, and shavah kesef is not acceptable for pidyon ma'aser sheni. And for pidyon haben, the Mishnah is going to say, for pidyon haben, you can use shavah kesef. Gemara Kiddushin talks about tala zel pidyon b'nei, egel zel pidyon b'nei. He wants to give a sheep, or he wants to give a goat, or he wants to give a talus, a beggar, a garment. He wants to give a suitor for pidyon haben. You can give a shavah kesef. You can give a shavah kesef. But you can't give karka avad and mishtar. These three not. It has to be dava hamrital to the gufa moment. So that's the shayla. Maybe when you get to, that's how the Chasam Sofer wants to present. Maybe when you get to din and bein odom la mafim, like pidyon ma'aser sheni, maybe there I should consider pidyon hegdish. Hegdish also, you can be poi de hegdish on shavah kesef, but you can't be poi de hegdish on karka avad and mishtar. The Gemara is going to say it's a klal prati klal. So makloik is satanoim. How do you darshan? But you darshan klala prati klala ribui miyot v'ribui. So we usually accept the opinion darshan klala prati klala. So you exclude all three. You exclude karka avad and mishtaros. So that's the question. Maybe paper money, when you get it, let's say einish boim al hashtaros. So you're going to say, if I lent you $1,000 in cash and paper money, there's no shvur deraisa there. Because paper money is not considered kesef, it's considered shtar. So I think the Chasam Sofer says, no, but again, the din emir al machaveirai, we treat paper money like kesef. And again, the mitzvahs ben odom lamakim, like pidyon ma'aser sheni, so somehow the meaning developed that, like this Chasam Sofer says, that you used only coins. You don't use paper money to be paid in ma'aser sheni, because ma'aser sheni has to be kesef, even shavah kesef is not acceptable. That's what the Gemara quotes a brisa here. And the daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, right before the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are the last two lines before the Mishnah, on about a third of the way down, a quarter of the way down from the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph in Chayrus, that there are three areas on Halacha where shavah kesef is not acceptable. By Kedusha Yishu, we do all the time shavah kesef. You give a ring. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Martcha that B'davki should not be Mekadosh B'kesef. Should only be Mekadosh B'shavah kesef. It's a question, why? Okay, it's a discussion in Pizchei Tshuva, and Eben Ezra talks about. But Allah said, Pidyon Aben, you can give a Becher, you can give a shavah kesef, even good L'chatchila. It's not even, yeah. But let's say Orem HaMazi goes money, he can pay either kesef or shavah kesef. He can pay l'chatchila shavah kesef. So the Gemara says there are three dinim, but we don't allow shavah kesef. So one din is pidyon ma'aser sheni. That's Gemara's in Bav Metzia. The main discussion is in Bav Metzia in Perek Hazav, that pidyon ma'aser sheni has to dafka be kesef, and you can't be koida on shavah kesef. The Gemara there discusses what constitutes kesef. Kesef means legal tender. legal tender recognized by the government. Which government? Recognized, let's say you have Israeli money in America. I want to be paid in my Sasheni in America, and I want to be paid on Israeli money. I spent a year learning in Eretz Yisrael, and I had a big Israeli coin, and I used it to be paid in my Sasheni time and time again. Then I come back to America, and I want to continue using that coin to be paid in my Sasheni in America. I'm going to buy Israeli fruits and vegetables in the store. And sometimes the Rabbanut says they don't take responsibility for our Hafrashot Terumos and Maisos on the fruits and the vegetables that they export to Chutz Lartz. There is such an opinion, and the Maharsham has a wild chiddush. Even though the parents grew in Eretz Yisrael, but if Milchatchila they planted it al das to export it to Chutz Lartz, so there's a minority opinion that it's not chayv in Terumos and Maisos. So that's what many of the farmers rely on that. So they export the tebel to Chutz Lartz. And it's not really right to rely on that. The pashtus is that you should be mafrish terumos hamaisos. So let's say the person years ago, it was different. Years ago, they couldn't send it by plane; they would send it by boat. So they would package the fruits and the vegetables in cardboard boxes and send it on a boat. The boat would leave Eretz Yisrael before gemar malachta of the fruit. Before it became ripe enough to be edible. So kolzman, it's not ripe enough to be eaten, it's eitz bialma, so it's not chayv and chumas and maisus. So if the gemar malachta, if the fruits of the vegetables only reach the stage that it's roi l'achila, when it left Eretz Yisrael, so then that's a mishlam melech, that you're not chayv and chumas and maisus. But now they send these fruits and vegetables by plane. Yesterday was in Eretz Yisrael, was edible, and today it's in Chutz Lartz, and they're selling it in stores. The very next day, 2 days later, they're selling it in the stores in New York City. So it already had its Gmar Malachta in Eretz Yisrael, and they're still not Mafrish Terumos HaMaisos. So what's that all about? So the answer is because there's such a suggestion in Marshtam that whatever fruits or vegetables are planted in Eretz Yisrael with the intention of shipping it to Chutz Lartz, that's not Chayv in Terumos HaMaisos. So maybe it's not right, but whatever, the Rabbanut is not makpid on that. So they won't give Eksha. They won't say that it's kosher. So then you have to be mafrish Terumos HaMaisos. So I'll take the Israeli coin that I used. I spent a year in Eretz Yisrael, and I was eating fruit, and I had to be mafrish Terumos HaMaisos. And then I was paid the Maisos Sheni on an Israeli coin. So I bring my Israeli coin now to America, and I want to be paid the Maisos Sheni that I have with me in America. So that's not acceptable because the Israeli coins are recognized by the Israeli government. It's not recognized by the American government. So the Israeli coin in America has a din of shavu kesef. It's not kesef. And pidyon ma'aser sheni is a din d'oraisa. You can't be paid pidyon ma'aser sheni on shavu kesef. Kiddushin you can make. You give a ring. A ring is shavu kesef. And pidyon aben you can do with shavu kesef. A lot of things you can do shavu kesef. But pidyon ma'aser sheni, that's a din. You can't be paying my Sushaini on anything other than kesef. Yeah. So that's what we mentioned before. That's a shaila. It has to be legal tender recognized by the government of that country. Which country? The country where the person is, or the country where the coin is, or the country where the payers are. Let's say I have tevel in England, and my money is in Yerushalayim, and I live in America. So I want to use my matbea that's in Eretz Yisrael to be paid in my Sushaini that's in England, and I am in America. So you say it depends. It's only called kesef if it's recognized as legal tender by that country. Which country? The country where the my Sushaini is, England, or the country where the person is? I'm in New York. I'm in America. Does it depend on the country where the matbea is? So the three logical possibilities. From the three logical possibilities, the Gemara has a statement on this. The Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. One would have thought it should be somewhere else at the end of Bava Kamma. So the two Girsas in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Chazon Ish says that we pass on like the Ravid against the Rambam, because the Rambam's Girsa must have been a mistake. It doesn't fit into the Gemara. So the Rambam says that it depends where the person is. It depends. I'm in New York. I'm being paid there. And my matbeah is in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ravid, Chazon Ish says, we paskan like the Ravid. The Gedolei Mosse says, we paskan like the Ravid because the Rambam's Girsa, we assume, is incorrect. His Girsa in the Gemara is incorrect. The Rambam says it depends where the person is, and we follow the Ravid, it depends where the money is. But it's the third possibility is a logical possibility, but there's not such Girsa in the Gemara that it should depend where the Paris, where is the Maaseh Sheni that you're going to be paid. Yeah. So we mentioned before, you can't be put, the Mishnah above Metziah, Daf Nun Hem and Alan said there are five dinim that need a minimum of a pruta to be Mekadosh and Isha, to buy karka, to be paid a hegdish, to be paid a Maaseh Sheni, a whole bunch of dinim. Me'ila behegdish, Hashava Saveda only begins in Shava Pruta, Mazik. A Mazik is Mechuyiv to pay. You can't have a din Torah unless than a Shava Pruta. Okay. The Mishnah has more than five. Mishnah says Chamish Puta, saying the Mar comes out there many more than five cases. So one of the dinim is, we said before, Hegdish, you can Hegdish of less than a Shava Puta, just like you can donate money to Hegdish. So you can be paid a Hegdish, even though the Hegdish is worth a half a penny. You can give a dime, you can give a dollar to be paid the Hegdish. Just like Hegdish accepts donations, so you can give more than the Hegdish is worth and be paid them. You have to give a minimum of a pruta, so it's good even though the Hegdish is being paid is worth less than a Shavu pruta. It's not a problem. But a Maaseh Sheni can do that. Maaseh Sheni is not a tax-deductible organization. You can't take it off as a tax as a donation. Maaseh Sheni can't accept any donations. So if you have Maaseh Sheni, that's worth less than the Shavu Pruta. You can't be paid to the Maaseh Sheni for more than it's worth. But if I have a Matbeya, if I have a big coin, an Israeli coin, let's say I was in Eretz Yisrael for a year, I had an Israeli coin, and I once used that Israeli coin to be paid to the Maaseh Sheni, that was worth a lot. That was worth $100 worth of Maaseh Sheni. So, and I have more money left, and I have a big coin. I have a $100 coin, let's say, if there's such a thing. A $100 coin, and I used $1 or $2 from the $100 to be paid in Maaseh Sheni. So then, if you have Maaseh Sheni now that's worth less than a Shavu Pruta, you can be paid it on an amount of less than a Shavu Pruta in the big coin, because at the end of the day, you will have in the big coin more than a Shavu Pruta Maaseh Sheni. Now I'm only being paid half of a Shavu Pruta's worth of Maaseh Sheni. But yesterday I was paid $100 worth of Maaseh Sheni. So I have a big chunk of the Matbeya was used for feeding Maaseh Sheni. So true, now today I'm being paid a Maaseh Sheni, which ain't both Shavu Pruta. But the coin already has more than a Shavu Pruta's worth of Maaseh Sheni money in it. So that's not a problem. That's what the Chazon Ish was Mefarsim that did. So the yeshiva boys call it Pruta Chamura because of the rest of the long story. The din is in Hegdish, there's a din of Aino'a. It says, when I sell Chisirim Kermim Kalam Yisecha, Konam Yarem Yisecha. If I'm selling merchandise or I'm buying merchandise, you're not allowed to fool the other party regarding the value, regarding the price. So let's say I'm going to sell something for way more than it's really worth. Or the customer's going to fool me into selling it for less than it's worth. I didn't fully realize how much it's worth. This is a common issue. A Talmud Chacham passes away and he leaves a whole library full of thousands of svarim. And then a Mecha Svarm comes, and he knows the children are not interested in using all these Svarm. So he says, I'll give you $5,000 all of a sudden. The Svarm are worth $500,000. They're worth a fortune of money, a whole library. And the Mecha Svarm fools the children into believing that the $5,000 is enough. So that's a din of Ainoa. The violation of Ainoa is both Chisim Kermim Kala Misecha, Kana Me'ala Misecha, whether he's selling or you're buying. If you sell it and they charge more than it's worth, or you buy it and you convince the moichet to sell it to you for less than it's worth, then it's a din of Aino. If I know how much it's worth, let's say I tell them, the Gemara is worth $10. I have an old Gemara, it's worth $10, but I want to sell it for $5,000. Take it or leave it. If you don't want it, don't buy it. But it's really worth $10, and I want $10,000. So that's not a din of Aino. No, it's only if you fool the person into believing that it's worth a different amount. But if you're not fooling him, you tell him it's only worth $5-$10, that I don't want to part with it unless you give me $20,000. So that's not the din of Oinu. So again, so the Gemara has on the top of Nun Aleph and Aleph, there are three dinim in the Torah, which Shavi Kesef is Lavki Kesef. One is Pidyam Aysen Sheni, you have to Davki use Kesef, and it's only called Kesef. Kesef has another meaning, silver, as opposed to Zahav, but that has nothing to do with it here. Kesef means a legal tender, whatever, that depends on Divin Machus. If the government of the country where the money is, that's how we assume the Girsa of the Raivin is the more correct Girsa. The Rambam's Girsa has been rejected, the Chazon Ish and the other posts can say like that. We don't accept the Rambam's Girsa. So it depends on the government of the country where the money is located. If the government of that country declares that cash is legal tender as a din of kesef, and you can be paid, you can use it to be paid the Maisu Sheni. So Pinyin Maisu Sheni has to be Davkir kesef. Then there's another din, when you give Machzah Shekel every year, there's Mancha Bez Hamikdush HaYekayim, everybody had to give the same amount. Everybody has to give the same amount for the purpose of purchasing the Karbanos Tzibur. Karban Yochid is paid for by that Yochid on whose behalf the Karban is offered. Let's say by mistake I ate some Chametz Dikke cookies on Pesach. It had a Hechsher, and I thought it said kosher. So I thought it was kosher on Pesach. Turned out it's kosher for all year long, but it's Chametz. So I ate Chametz Dikke cookies on Pesach B'shoyi. So whenever you do an Avera B'shoyig, which if you would have violated the Avera B'mezid, you would have been Chayv Karet. One who eats Chametz B'Pesach is Chayv Karet. So one who does an Avera B'shoyig, if he would have done the Avera B'mezid, would have been Chayv Karet. So he's obligated to bring a Korban Chattas. So you have to pay for the Korban Chattas. You are the Bala Korban, so you have to pay for the Korban Chattas. Gemar Nazir learns out from a Pasuk that if I have a good next-door neighbor and he knows how poor I am, he knows my story, that by mistake I ate some Chametz Dikke cookies, and he doesn't want to embarrass me. He knows that I can't afford to pay for a korban. It's expensive to buy behema. So my friend goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and he gives him whatever, $1,000, and he says, send a letter to Schechter that the korban chattas is going to be offered tomorrow on his behalf. If he agrees, it's okay. He doesn't have to know who gave the money. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that you can be Magdash Amanashi is Kapabach Avera. A good Samaritan can walk into the Beis HaMikdash and he'll donate the money. He'll give the money on my behalf. And I'm called the Bala Korban. He's the Magdash and I'm the Miskaper. He's the one who put up the money. But by Korban Siba, it doesn't work like that. Let's say one family wants to, let's say the Goldberg family, they're very wealthy, they want to give $10 million to cover the expenses of a whole year's worth of karbonis, minimum of suffering per whole year. So they hang up a sign in the Beis HaMikdash, Machzal Shekel money was taken care of this year by the Goldberg family, and no one has to give any money. So the Gemara said during the Bai Sheni period, there were periods of time that the Tzedukim were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, they were in charge of everything, and they allowed it. They allowed it. They didn't see that there should be a difference between a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur. And then when the Chachamim kicked out the Tzedukim for running the Beis HaMikdash, for running the Sanhedrin, so they made a Yontif. That's called Itoikim Tmida. The Korban Tamid was established properly, that you can no longer bring the Korban Tamid paid for by one family, has to be paid for Dafke with the Machzah Shekel money. So every person has to give Machzah Shekel, all the men, the women, not what we have to give. If the women want to, we accept it from that. If a guy wants to donate, we don't accept Machzah Shekel. If a guy wants to donate money to Hegdish, we'll accept it. But if he wants to donate to Machzah Shekel, that's not acceptable. He's not included in the Korban Siba. Korban Siba is only the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael. Women are not mechuyev to give money for Machzah Shekel, but if they want to volunteer, the women have the same kedusha as the men. That's why the Rabbi Meir Tam holds that women can recite the bracha. If a woman shakes a lulav, or the woman sleeps in the sukkah, eats in the sukkah, whatever, so she can recite the bracha, she can reshana the mitzvah yisav v'tzibana, because it's true, they have the same kedusha as Yisrael as the men. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, in his Shuvos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed on the occasion of Mam HaSin, about them to you, Ali, Amlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, the Jewish people have a Kedushas Yisrael, he told it equally to the men and to the women. Because some of the Beis Yaakov is Sagir Levanei Yisrael. Because some of the Beis Yaakov Elo HaNoshim is Sagir Levanei Yisrael Elo HaGvarim. The men and the women are Temtio Li, Goy Kadosh. The men and the women have the same level of Kedusha. Kohanim have a higher level of Kedusha. Kohen Gadol has even a higher level of Kedusha. But the men and the women have the same level of Kedusha. The women have an exemption. And Kedusha means Kedushan of the Tzivon. No such thing as abstract Kedusha. We say he's a holy person. Means that he observes more mitzvahs than everybody else. He's more careful about the mitzvahs than most people are. That's what Kedusha means. Kedushan of the Tzivon. Kedusha means that you do mitzvah. No such thing as just abstract Kedusha. Sanctity means Kedushan of the Mitzvah. The Mishnah in the first parak in Kalim lists off Esek Kedusha saying the 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, and every step of the way says Eretz HaMekudeshes Mikol HaArotzes Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, as opposed to Chutz L'Arot tells you the Nafkamina Shemelim Menu HaEmer Eshtei Alechem. So Eimer and Eshtei Alechem have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Then it says Yoros HaMekavs Chaim have a higher level of Kedusha than Mitzrayim are not allowed to enter. And then Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than Ayoros HaMekavos Chayimah, because you can eat Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. You can't eat Kachim Kalim in Ayoros HaMekavos Chayimah. Then it says Harbayis has a higher level of Kedusha, that the one who has a Tumah Yotzen and Gufa is not allowed to enter. And then Azar has a higher level of Kedusha than even a Tamei Meis is not allowed to enter. Then the Heichal has a higher level of Kedusha, and the Kodesh Kodoshim has a higher level of Kedusha. The Mishnah lists up the Esa Kedusha, the 10 levels of Kedusha, and each time it says, what's an afkamina ledina? Kedusha means kedushan of the mitzvahs of itzivanu. If there's no difference in halacha, so it doesn't have a higher level of kedusha. Kedusha always means kedushan of the mitzvahs of. You can fulfill certain mitzvahs here that you can fulfill there. So that's why that malkam has more kedusha. Yeah. So the Gemara has this din that Machzah Shekel, you only Yotzei Machzah Shekel, that's given every year, there's a bunch of Besamigdash Harikayim, it's collected every year for the purpose of purchasing the Karbanos Tzibur and the Besamigdash, because Manazay, you're not supposed to be Mafrish Machzah Shekel. You're not allowed to be Mafrish Machzah Shekel, because it'll be Kotcha Machutz. What are you going to do with the money? You can't buy Karbanos, so someone's going to be Moil Behegdash. Someone's going to take the money and use it for his own purposes. It will be an Isa Me'ila Behegdash. So Machzah Shekel was Bizman Shabbos Migdash HaYikayim for the purpose of purchasing the Karbanos Tzibur, the Tminim and Musafim for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says that that's a din. You can only be Yotzei Machzah Shekel if you give cash. If you give Shavir cash, it was no good. So that's a big question. And the Yerushalmi on Shkolim, whether that's a din d'araisa, a din d'rabbah, depends how you interpret the Yerushalmi. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas that he, in Europe, when he was much younger, he wrote a Al-Khibra on Yerushalmi, and he always was bemoaning the fact that it was lost. He had to run away from the communists, so he lost his manuscript. But he writes in his Tshuvas, he explained in his Khibra on Yerushalmi that too is a din d'araisa. He doesn't agree with those who understood Yerushalmi that that's only a din d'rabbanim. In a Torah, you can be Yotzei Machzah Shekel even if you give Shavei Kesef, and it's only by the Rabbanim. He says, that's wrong. He says, he explained in his Sefer on Yerushalmi that not only is Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is a din d'araisa, you need only Kesef. Shavei Kesef is no good. But Machzah Shekel is also a din d'araisa. The third din is only a din d'rabbanim. Gemara has it right before the Mishnah, and all of them are. Third din is only a din d'rabbanim. When you, on Sholosh Regolim, Pesach Shavuot Sukkis, all the men are obligated, Yerot Kol Zuchurcha, Espinei Hashem Alakecha, all the men have to appear in the Azorah, and have to pay for Korban Oila. So the Korban Oila, Oila Tzriya, that's called Haroyim, the Oila Tzriya has to be paid for with cash. You're not supposed to set aside the Shavuot Kesef. Don't put aside a valuable ring that's worth $5,000, when you come to Yerushalayim, you'll buy the carbon behema with the ring. So that's a din. Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, that's a din medirabon. That's not a din menater. But the other two are din menater. The Shavu Kesef is Lavki Kesef. By Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, that's clear like that. And by Machzah Shekel, that's the Rav Moshe claims that that too is a din there, right? Yeah, so pigyon aben, you can pigyon aben. Allah has said you can do pigyon aben. Eagles are the pigyon, tala are the pigyon, and gemar kiddushin, but you can't use karkavari mishdaras. Okay, cannot use karkavari mishdaras. So how much? Let's go again. So how much do you have to give for pigyon aben? 5 slon. So how much is 5 slon? So the gemara has a little bit over here. Here it's very confusing. The gemara is telling you. They're using Arab coins that existed in the days of the Gemara. What does it correspond to today? That's what we have to figure out. So let's see. So we'll start first with a pruta. How much is a pruta? There are 5 dinim that depend on a pruta. To buy karka, to be paid the egdish, to be paid the maisusheni. A whole bunch of dinim that depend on pruta or shal pruta. How much is a pruta? So the Gemara in Kiddushin that you'd base on an aleph has Sover Rabbi Yosef LeMeimar. Rabbi Yosef mistakenly thought initially that the smallest coin in the monetary system in the country where you live has a din of a pruta. You can make a kaddish and isha and coin a karka of a pruta, I mean, smallest coin. So I don't know, now in England, they used to have, years ago, I remember when I was visiting in England, they had pennies and they had halfpennies, they had half pennies. So the halfpenny is the smallest coin that exists in the monetary system there. So the halfpenny had the din, according to Rabbi Yosef, the halfpenny had a din of Shavakut. So the Gemara rejects it and says that it's not true. It's not, Pruta is not whatever is the smallest coin, the smallest denomination in the monetary system in your country. But the Gemara doesn't say what it is. The Gemara says what it's not. Rabbi Yosef is wrong. Rabbi Yosef thought originally incorrectly that the smallest coin in the monetary system has a din of Shavakut. That's not correct. So what is it? So the Ramban didn't have a riff. The riff wrote Hilchas Harav Fasini. The riff wrote the Taktis, the Kitzur of every Sugya. So the riff wrote on all the Mesichtas that are Megir Lalacha, on Brachas, and on Shabbos, and on Erevin, and Noshim, and Ezekin. Unfortunately, he didn't write any riff because it's not Halach Lamaisa. The Rambam wrote on everything, but the riff only wrote on the Mesichtas that are Megir Lalacha. So the Ramban didn't have a riff on Bechoris. He wrote Hilchas HaRamban. He wrote an imitation riff. He didn't write on the rest. So the Chofetz Chaim wrote an imitation. He's called Ikuti Halachas. The riff is called Hilchas Alfasi, because he lived in Fez. His name was Yitzhak Alfasi, because he lived in Fez, is the capital, still the capital of Morocco. And then he had to leave at the age of 75, had to leave to Spain because of an Alila. They accused him of being married in Malchus, so he had to run away. So he started his second career in teaching Torah at the age of 75. He died at the age of 90. So the Ramban wrote an imitation riff on Pyrrhus. That's what they have it printed in the back of all the Gemara's Pyrrhus. Then you have this long commentary on the side by Rital Gaz. It is unbelievable. He has fantastic Pilpulim, Lam Dishat Pilpulim. He brings in Kola Torah Kula in his commentary on the Ramban. He's fantastic. There are many people who learn Bechoris just in order to learn the Marit Al-Ghazi's Pilpulim. They're not really interested in the Mesichta. They want to see the Pilpulim of Marit Al-Ghazi. He's Bayridik. The whole Al-Ghazi family, they wrote the other Svarim also. They were fantastic. In the 1700s. They started writing encyclopedias, so they have quite a few from the Al-Ghazis. So you have the Ramban in the back of Chorus, in the Hilchas Chorus, the Ramban, and the Rosh in the first Perek in Kiddushan Adaf Yubbeis, and in Shulchan Aruch, you look, in Shulchan Aruch they have it, both in Pidyon Aben and Simen Shinhei, and they have it in Eben Ezra, Simen Samach Babol, so they tell you how much is the Pruta. So they say, we have a tradition from the Gaonim, the value of a certain amount of silver. Mishkal Chatz Yisora Kesev Zokuk. If you take an average size barley grain, how big is a barley grain? A tiny little grain? So if you take a barley grain and you cut it exactly in half, how can you cut it? You have to use 1,000,000 barley grains in order to figure out what's an average size barley grain. We assume that the barley grains are not changing in size from generation to generation. Like Kezias and Kebetza, we assume that the Goyim say, why did the Rabbanu Shalom give us Shiurim Kezias Kebetza? When they give us in grams or in or in inches or so on, because the inches and the grams, that's that depends on what country you live in. But the gezeis and the kebetza, that's going to be always the same. So that's what we assume over here also. Mishkal Saora, the weight of a barley grain, we assume is going to be the same forever. So if you take a barley grain and you cut it exactly in half and you weigh it, and then on the, you have a scale. On one side of the scale you have chatzi saora, half of a barley grain. On the other side of the scale you have kesef zokum, pure silver. So the value of that amount of pure silver, mishka chatzi saora kesef zokum, the value of the weight of half a barley grain in pure silver, that is considered a shavar pruta. So for many years in America, that was way less than a penny. Now it's, I think, more than a penny. It depends on the value of silver. Silver goes up, then the value of a shavar pruta goes up. Silver goes down, then the value of a shavar pruta is going to be less. Mishkal chatzi sora kesef zokuk. So that's how much a pruta is. So how much is pidyon ha-ben? Pidyon ha-ben is 5 sloim. So how many prutas are there in 5 sloim? So there are 3,840 prutas. Rashi and Ardaf has a little Rashi in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, makes the Cheshbon. Gemara makes the Cheshbon. Here, the Gemara is going to talk about this, so I may as well discuss it now. How much do you pay? A man is ma'anis or mefata, a naira besula. Man is ma'anis or mefata, a naira besula, says that it's chamishim shekel kesef. He pays 50 sloim. A shekel is a seller. He pays 50 shkolim. And how much is that? So that's 200 zuz. Because there are 4 zuzim in a shekel. So when we all get married, so we fill out a ksuba, and the chosn obligates himself, he's marrying a girl who has never married before. He's marrying a basula who has never married before. So the value of the ksuba is 50 shkolim. How do you know? It says in the Chumash. It says if someone is ma'anis or mefata a girl, kesef yishkol kemohar habesulos. Mohar habesulos means the ksuba that they would normally is mamat and Torah. That was the meaning of oilam. That was the meaning in the Middle East at that time, that if they would be going, when they would get married, and the girl would be a besula, so they would give her a ksuba in case they'll divorce her, or in case they'll die, so she needs a parnosa. So they're going to give her 50 shkolim. So because this fellow was honest, the girl, I'm a father to the girl, so when she's going to finally get a shidduch, she won't be able to get a ksuba of 50 sloim, because she's not a psula. This practice on kesef yishkol kemor habesulas, because he made it, because he was ma'anis, I'm a father to the girl. The father does mean that they both consented to be together. If they both consented, so why do you make him pay a penalty? It means he talked it into her. He was mafat to her. He kept on hacking and hacking and hacking. If she agrees right away, she says, maybe we should be mazan, she says right away, yeah, that's not called mafata. So they're both sinning together. But if he's ma'anis her, or mafata also in a certain sense ma'anis her. He was ma'anis her until she agreed. And then when they did this nus, it was with her consent. But originally she didn't consent to it. He pressured her. He kept on talking it into her. So the Torah says, "Kesef yishkol kamar hapsulus." One is ma'anis and mefata has to pay chamishim shekel. Chamishim shekel kesef is the same thing as 200 zuz, because there are 4 zuzim in a shekel. So if you have 50 times 4, there's going to be 200. The 4 is to a dinar and a zuz is the same thing, interchangeable. So the 4 dinarim in a shekel, or four zuzim in the shekel, same thing. So whenever you get married, you give the girl a document of the ksuba. The ksuba has 3 parts to it. So the ikka ksuba, the tosefes ksuba, and the nidunya. So the ikka ksuba, if the girl is a besula, so that says in the chumash, kesef yishkol kemor habesulas. Mor habesulas was 50 shtolim, was 200 zuz. That's why the Gemara has a machloikis. Every 10 dafim in ksuba, the Gemara has a machloikis hatanoim. But the ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. Most of the Rishayim, overwhelming majority of the Rishayim, pass from ksuba lav deraisa. It's not a din deraisa. It says in the Chumash, kesef yishkol kemoar habesulos, Yeah, that was the minig, Bisman Matan Torah. That was a minig by the Nachrim also, that they would give a ksuba if the girl was a psula, they would give her a document where they would be obligating themselves to give her 50 shkolim in case they'll divorce her, in case they'll die before her, so she'll need parnasa for a year. 200 zuz is how much you need to live for a year. That's a definition of an oni. Who is an oni? An oni has a right to take lekach kempeyam, I say oni. What's the definition of an oni? So, an usher is a person, let's say, has zero money in his savings account, but he has a steady income. He has a job, and he has a steady income, and every week he makes ends meet. So that's called an usher. Or if he doesn't have a steady income, he doesn't work at all, but he has 200 zuz in the bank. So that's also called an usher. Where'd they get the shear, 200 zuz, from? Because 200 zuz, that's the ksuba that's mentioned in the Chumash, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, 200 zuz. And the reason behind it, the reason why the practice used to be, is Bamat and Torah in the Middle East, that they would give a ksuba of Masayim zuz, of 50 shkolim, is to give the girl after the husband divorces her, after the husband dies. You give the girl a year, we're going to give her parnasa for a year. The 50 shkolim is enough to live on a year today. It's not enough to live on for a week. It's all a little money. But in the days of the Tanakh, 50 shkolim was enough to live for 200 zuz. It was enough to live for a whole year. And then she'll be able to find the shidduch within the course of the year. People years ago were not so picky. Today, they're picky, and then they're already 55 years old, and they're still not married. Then they want to adopt or whatever crazy thing they do. But they shouldn't be so picky, and they would have gotten married earlier. Things would have been normal. So that's a machlokes hatanoi. We pass an eksuba lav deraisa. When it says in the Chumash that the emor hapsulus was 50 shkolim, 200 zuz, that was the meaning of Bisman Anter, but you're not mechuyif. And the minority opinion in the Rishonim, the Tosfos and Ksuvos, the Tesem and Aleph, claims that in our standard ksuba, Ashkenazim standard ksuba, it says three parts to the ksuba, three amounts of money. So the first amount is Masayim Zuz, which is a 50 shkolim, the Chazilich and Midi Araisa, that she's entitled to in our Torah. So Tosfos says, you see from the text of the ksuba that we use, Ashkenazim always use that text of the ksuba, Chazilich and Midi Araisa, that we pass in ksuba the Araisa. We do not pass them like that. The Lomim Majar the Rishon and Paskin Ksuba Lav the Raisa. When it says in the Chumash, it marks, I mean, that was the practice, Bisman Anter. And the Din the Raisa, that you have to pay Onis and Mefat, that's the Pech Hanishim Shekel Kesef, because by being Ma'anis and Mefat to the girl, you are maps at her. A normal girl would be a Psula when she gets married. The husband would, the Minig was Bisman Anter, husband would give her a document to be Mishad by himself. Aksubas Besula. So the Torah says that's why we make the Ma'anis and the Mafat pay the Hamishim Shekel Kesef to the girl's father, because he was Mafsid, the girl, the Hamishim Shekel Kesef. So that's but we write in the Aksubas the Chazi Lich Tamidi Araisa. We'll have to get to that. So that's a Tosfos here on the top places are Nun Aleph Amun Aleph. It starts on the bottom of Nun Amun Beis. It continues on the top of Nun Aleph Amun Aleph. The end of that Hemshech of the Tosfos. So, the in Shulchan Aruch, there are three different opinions. So we'll get to that Tosfos. We'll get to it tonight. We'll discuss that Tosfos. So again, how much is a pruta? So we don't accept Rabbi Yosef's suggestion that a pruta is the smallest coin in the monetary system in any given country at any given time. We paskin, it's the value of that much pure silver, the weight of mishkal chatzi sora kesef zokum. You take an average-sized barley grain, you cut it exactly in half, so the value of the silver, pure silver, that's the weight of a half a barley grain, that's the value of one pruta. So it used to be less than a penny, and now it's more than a penny. It depends on how expensive the silver is. So let's see, how many this other in Pidyon Aben. So a pig in a den, there are 5 shkolim, and every shekel has 4 zuzim, 4 dinarim, because in every ksuba, it says, in the chumash, it says, chamishim shekel kesef, kesef yishkol, kimohar ha-besulas. He pays the same amount, the ksuba of a besula. The ksuba of a besula, by us, we write 200 zuz, in the chumash, it's written 50 shkolim. So 50 shkolim is the same thing as 200 zuz, because there are 4 zuzim, and 1 shekel, the same thing, 4 dinarim, and 1 shekel, dinar and zuz, is the same thing. So how many putas are there in the whole pigyon aden? So the Gemara makes the whole cheshbon. There it's in Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that there are 4 dinarim in a shekel, and there are kuf tzadik beis. That's how Rashi adds it up in Kiddushin. 192. There are kuf tzadik beis putas in a dinar, and there are 4 dinarim in a shekel, and you need 5 shkolim for pigyon aden. So if you have kuf tzadik beis, 192 prutas in 1 dinar, how many dinarim do you need in pidyon aden? So there are 4 dinarim in a shekel, and they're going to be 5 shkolim, so it's 4 times 5. So you're going to have 20 dinarim in the 5 shkolim. So take 192 prutas, kuf tzadik beis prutas in a dinar, multiplied by 20. So if in higher mathematics, if you multiply 192 by times 20, it comes out to 38.40. So if a pruta would have been a penny, if pidyon aden would have been $38.40, then a pruta would have been a penny. For many years, pidyon aden was less than $38.40, way less. People didn't give that much money. So a pruta was less than a penny. Pruta was less than a penny. But now, that amount of silver, yeah. If each, you have to take 3,840 prutas, and every pruta is the value of silver that weighs the same as chatzi seor of kesef zakum, half of a barley grain. So take so many barley grains, take so many half barley grains, 3,840 half barley grains. How many barley grains is that going to be? It's going to be half that amount. What's half of 38? 1820. It's going to be 1820. 1,800, I think. How do you divide 3,840 by 2?
It's 1920.
So it's going to be 1920 average size barley grains. Instead of going with half barley grains, so it's going to be 1920 barley grains on one side of the scale, and you're going to have pure silver on the other side of the scale. So how much is that equal to? So that's a big question. How much does the average size barley grain weigh? So Tziyodua, the Chazanish said that the Ikar Adin is 96 grams of pure silver. 96 grams of pure silver. And the meaning is that you round it off and you give 100 grams. Chacham Avadia has a tshuva where he quotes that some have the meaning in Yerushalayim, you give 100 grams. Echfava the Chazanish, the Ikar Adin is 96 grams, but they round it off and make 100. And some insist it's 101. Then Rav Zevin quotes, Rav Chacham Avadia quotes Rav Zevin. There was a period of time that Rav Zevin used to write a book review. The Mizrahi used to have their own newspaper, just like the Aguda has their own newspaper. So years ago, Mizrahi used to have Hatzofeh, Mizrahi newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Zevin used to write a book review every week for years and years. Then he put together 3 volumes. He collected the best of the book reviews, and he reprinted them, but they never reprinted it in the late years. If you didn't buy it then, you don't have it. So he put out a book review. He has 1 volume of book review on Kisvei Yad from Rishonim that were coming. I go on him in Rishonim. Then he has another volume of encyclopedias that came out. Then he has a volume about the Chidush Torah that Rabbanim put out Svarim. Rabbanim in Europe are writing Svarim. So he put out 3 volumes of Sofer Misvar. So one of the volumes he writes about this, each book review is extremely fascinating. He writes about Svarim in general, how to write Svarim, and how different Mechaber wrote different Svarim. each one is very fascinating. So Rav Zervin shows that the Balatanya, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was a Lubavitcher. So he has a lot of Lubavitcher drush. He put out Svarim of Machshava, of drush, all the Lubavitcher style. He was a Lubavitcher in Europe, all he is. So he shows that the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that it's 100 grams of pure silver. So Rav Chacham Avad Yosef quotes that from Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin pointed out, Chazanish says it's Mikra din 96 grams of pure silver. The meaning is you give 100. And Rav Zevin claims that it should be the Balatanya holds that it's 100. And there was a minig in Shankir of 101 grams of pure silver. But you look, I don't know why Rav Chacham Avad doesn't quote it. They quote that the Chasam Sofer held that it's way less, something like 75 grams of pure silver, much less. But today I think it's usually assumed, like the Chazon Ish said, that it's 96 grams of pure silver is Mikar Adin, that's the amount of five slum for Pidyon Adin, yeah.
Rav Schachter, what's the point of rounding up in terms of grams? Grams are a secular concept. You know, if you would have told me we round up 3840 to 4000, okay, I can understand, but rounding up grams is not, it's a man-made thing from secular culture.
Right. So they're afraid that maybe it's supposed to be more. Maybe it's not, you know, the mitzvah, because you didn't give enough. So they wanted to give a little more just to make sure. So instead of making 96 into 97, so they rounded it up to give 100 grams of pure silver to make sure that you get to the mitzvah. And others felt that it's more than 100 grams. 101 grams of pure silver, that's not going to round that up. Going to leave it 101. But most do 100 grams of pure silver, right? So in a ksuba, in every ksuba, there are three parts. When you get married, so you give, if the girl was never married before, so you give a ksuba's besula. So the ksuba's besula is the 50 shkolim. So the 50 shkolim, Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. So ksuba is 10 times 5 is 50. So whatever you give for Pidyon HaBen, you give 96 grams of pure silver, you multiply that by 10. Instead of saying 960 grams of pure silver. So that's the Ike Ksuba. That's the Ike Ksuba's Psula, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, the Chazi Lichmeder writes. That's how we write. And then we add on Tosefes Ksuba. The Chosan, out of goodness of his heart, added on an additional amount, and the amount that he adds on Tosefes Ksuba is way in excess of what the Ksuba is itself. He adds on Meizukum, Hosef Lobin Delay, the Chosan added on, in addition to the 200 zuz, that's chamishim shekel, the chasen added on meir zukukin kesef tzov. What is zukukin? Zukukin are coins that don't exist in the Gemara. Zukukin existed in the days of the Maharil. Maharil lived in Germany, and these were German or Austrian coins. How much is a zukuk? So the Vilna Gaon writes in Aben Ezra and Siman Samach Vov, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about how much the ksuba is, and he says that a pruta is Mishkal Chatzi Sarah Kesef Zakuk. That's the value of a pruta. And so the Vilna Gaon writes over there, a Zakuk, he quotes the Maharil. Maharil in a Tshuva tells you, the Zakuk is the value, this Austrian coin, is the value of three times Pidyon HaBen, of 15 sloin. Each Zakuk is equal to 15 slot. So you have to take however much you give Pidyon HaBen, multiply it times 3. You give 96 grams of pure silver. Mikra Adin, leave the rounding off. Mikra Adin, the Chazon Ish holds that it's 96 grams. You multiply that by 3, and that's 1 zakuk. And then you multiply that by 100 meir zakuk in case of tzaruf is a tosefes ksuba. And then, there's a third part to every normal ksuba. They say, the day nadunin da hamolas lemi be'avua. And the following is that we assess the value of all of the property of the things that the girl is bringing into the marriage. So the girl has dresses. When she was growing up, her mother has a beautiful dress. She has jewelry. the mother, the parents probably bought her, maybe they bought her in a mobile, maybe they bought her an apartment in Yerushalayim, maybe they bought her furniture, maybe they bought all kinds of things. So we assess the value of all of the property that she's bringing into the marriage. That's called the nedunya. So they used to write years ago an exaggerated amount. They used to assess it, but then nedunya damnolas lemi beavlov, whether the kesef is all of the malbushim or sheets or furniture, everything, we're adding everything up. We're saying that it's equal to meya zukuf and kesef. So today, a lot of times, it's worth much more than meya zukuf and kesef. So in Eretz Yisrael, they'll take it right, they'll assess how much it is, and they'll write down how much it is in American dollars, into the ksuba. They'll write somud la dollar, they'll write how much it's worth in Israeli coins, somud la dollar, according to the carry it over in American money the day that they got married. You'll have a conversion table. So the three parts to every ksuba. The ik ksuba is the 50 shkolin, and the 50 shkolim has 3,840 prutas in it. No, I'm mixing everything up already. 3,840, that's the pidyon aben. And pidyon aben is 5 shkolim. And iksub is 50 shkolim. So whatever you give for pidyon aben, you give 10 times as much. So you give to pidyon aben 96 grams of pure silver. So for the ikar iksub, you give 960 grams of pure silver. But then you add on, normally you add on, if the girl's getting married for the first time, you add on, osif lamin delay, od meyaz zukukin kesef sara, hundreds of kukin, and each zakuk is three times pidyon aben, the Vilna Gaon quotes from Mariel, and then you say, b'den nedunya dan olaslay, that's the nedunya, we assess all of the property that she's bringing into the marriage, the dresses and the jewelry and everything, we assess it all. A lot of times it's an under assessment, a lot of times worth much more. So you assess how much everything is worth, and you say that it's all worth another mezukuk and kesef tzar. Then you add it up, what's the sum total? You say, sachakol, masayim zukuk and kesef tzaruch. So that's the question, what do you mean masayim zukukim? Masayim zukukim, you added up the tosefes ksuba with the nedunya, but you didn't add up the chamishim shekel kesef. What about the 200 zuz, the chamishim shekel kesef? So some say, sa'achakom asayim zukukim means in addition, over and above the ikir ksuba, the araisa, over and above the ikir ksuba, it's sa'achakom asayim zukukim kesef in addition to the ikir ksuba. The Beis Shmuel writes in Ebenezer, his impression is that the minig is that it's absorbed. When a couple chalil gets divorced and the husband has to pay, this is alimony, has to pay her this amount. So he pays her only the Masayim, Sachakom Masayim Zukukin, and he doesn't have to pay in addition the 200 zuz. It's insignificant. If he's giving 200 Zukukin Kesef Tzar, it's worth much more than the Masayim zuz. So these are the three parts to every ksuba. Every ksuba has the three parts. The Iker ksuba, the Sefer's ksuba, and then the Dunya, the Iker ksuba, is 50 shkolim. That's based on the pasuk in Chumash, but we assume ksuba lal derais. Rov harishonim pasuk ksuba lal derais. The Tosfos in ksuba is on daf tes, and the Gemara pesach pasuk matzasi. Tosfos there quotes the Ri Bal Batzpes that he holds the nusach and all of the Ashkenazi ksuba is the chazi lichem derais, indicates that we hold ksuba is derais. But all the rishonim reject that. They say it's not so. We pass ksuba lav deraisa. What's the difference? Gemara has every 10 blot in ksubas. Every 10, 15 blot. Gemara has another shayla that depends on this issue. But the ksuba deraisa lav deraisa. The shayla is, even if you're ksuba lav deraisa, but a person makes a kabbalah kinyan and he writes a shtar and he gives the ksuba, he gives the document to the girl. So he's accepting upon himself to give that. So if you accept an obligation, let's say I'm not marrying a girl. Middle clear blue sky. I go up to a person. I say, give me a handkerchief, and by my accepting the handkerchief, I will obligate myself to give you a fortune of money. That's what we do. The rabbi who's Masada Kedushim, or the Eidim, or the Heinrich Sub, they give a handkerchief to the chassid. So then you write the Kaninim in there. We made a Kabbalah's Kenyan. So Gemara says, whenever Mikir Adin, you're not Mukhiyev to pay for something, and you accepted it on your own. If you accepted it and you made a Kabbalah's Kenyan, you're Mukhiyev Minatarit to pay. So by us, we always make a Kabbalah's Kenyan. And we write a ksuba. So everyone should agree today that ksuba should be deraisa. So the Beis Shmuel writes in Ebenezer, no, when you make the Kabbalah's Kinyan, we only mean that it should be the same level of Chiyuv that it was before we made the Kabbalah's Kinyan. It's only Ksuba Lav Derais. Anytime you make a Kabbalah's Kinyan to accept an obligation, it becomes a Chiyuv Min HaTorah. But over here it doesn't. It just meant to back up, to fortify the Chiyuv Ksuba that's Min HaRabban. But we Paskin Ksuba is Lav Derais. We Paskin Ksuba is Lav Derais. The Rambam wrote by way of introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah, to the Rambam, to the Yadacha, to the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, what's, people don't realize, what's the Ikar of learning? What's learning all about? So it says, in L'chum, L'madatam osam, U'shmatam la'asosam. He's supposed to learn all of the 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara has on the last daphim makas, that there are Taryag mitzvahs. Reb Simloi made a comment based on the Pasuk HaFumish. There are Taryag mitzvahs, and it's in many Midrashim is like that. You don't find anybody disagreeing. Seems that they all agreed. There are Taryag mitzvahs, not all the Moshe Mitzvah. 613 mitzvahs. So, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is, well, Amaritam Osam, you should learn which are the 613 mitzvahs. U'shmartam Las Osam, you should learn what are the 613 mitzvahs and what are all the details, and you should know how to observe them. So that's the Ikar of learning. A lot of people think the Ikar of learning is to say a pilpul, to ask a kasha, to give a teretz on Rabbi Kibega's kasha. That's the icing on the second piece of cake that you're eating for dessert. That's not the main part of Talmud Torah. The main part of Talmud Torah is to know what are all the dinim, what are all the 613 mitzvahs, and what are all the details? How are we supposed to observe all of the 613 mitzvahs? So by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And then as you go through the Sefer HaMitzvahs, every section he tells you, we're going to cover in Hilchas Shabbos, it's going to be 25 mitzvahs. We're going to have Hilchas Pesach, we're going to have 15 mitzvahs. Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, going to be so many mitzvahs. Hilchas Ma'aviv Olam, so many mitzvahs. So when you read the whole Mishnah Torah, the whole Rambam's Yad HaZakeh, the whole thing is revolving about the Taryag mitzvahs. Which are the Taryag mitzvahs? What are all the details of the Taryag mitzvahs? So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. He says there are two mitzvahs in Hilchas Ishus. One is Pirut B'Rivya, to have children. Everyone should try to have a son and a daughter. And then there's a mitzvah, Lisa Ishcha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin. You should get married B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin. So that's a question. The Rambam himself paskens like Ksuba Lav Deraisa. So how does he write in the definition of the mitzvah deraisa, the minyan mitzvahs b'ktsara? The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written by the Rambam in Arabic. So we, those of us who don't Arabic, we use the Hebrew translation. But the Rambam himself wrote the minyan mitzvahs b'ktsara, the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. He has every mitzvah one or two lines. Instead of having a whole paragraph like it has in Sefer HaMitzvahs, has one or two lines. So when he has this mitzvah of getting married, the Rambam holds a separate mitzvah to get married and a separate mitzvah to have children. Other Rishonim say it's not a mitzvah to get married. You can't have children unless you get married. That's a hach. Let's say you have to buy a lulav and an esu because the first 2 days of Sukkot is in each halachem. But there's no mitzvah to buy a lulav and an esu. That's a hechsha mitzvah. You can't fulfill a mitzvah. That first day and says, olukachtum alachem, mishalachem, has to belong to you. So purchasing, buying the lulav and the esrog is not a mitzvah, that's a hechsha mitzvah. It's going to enable you. Let's say you have to buy a talis. You don't buy a talis, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of wearing a talis. You have to buy a pair of tefillin, okay? But that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin. So the Rambam counts it as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married, and another mitzvah to have children. So the Rambam writes a mitzvah to get married. Lisa, you should be ksuba v'kiddushin. How can it be? But the Mefarshim at Ksuba is only the Rabbanim. The Rambam writes Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Eben Ezer writes in one place, when the Rambam writes Rav Soloveitchik, he said this on his own. He didn't mention the Vilna Gaon, but we found later the Bir Agro writes it. When the Rambam writes Lisa Isha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin, he doesn't mean the Ksuba, the document that we call the Ksuba. He means the Shibud Ksuba. That it says in the Chumashir Ksusa V'Anosa Lo Yigra. When you're married, so you're meshubah to support your wife with food and clothing and lodging. You have to rent an apartment, and you have to give her food and clothing. So let's say a man will marry a woman, hariya mekudeshesli ala tanai, then I'm not mechuyev to give you, to pay for your food or your clothing. So you can, it's a machlekes hatanoim. That's called masna mashtikas matar b'dovish abim moment. can you make such a t'nai? We paskin, you can make such a t'nai, and it's valid. So the couple is married, but and he's not b'chiv to support his wife with food or clothing or lodging. He'll sleep in the park. He'll sleep in the hekdesh next to the shul. So you can get married like that. But the Rambam is telling us, you're not yet in the mitzvah of getting married. The mitzvah is Lisa Isha b'ksuba the kedushin k'sul nei shibud ek'suba. Shibud is sheksus ve'oina. That's what it means. But he didn't mean with the document that you have to have a document. That's not what he meant. So this was by way of introduction to what we're going to learn tonight. So what are we learning? Let's start the Mishnah. Mem test on the base. And Tcharis mem test on this. Chamish slaim shal ben, the five slaim that you give him, Binyan ben, so it says, is the monetzuri. So the Gemara explains there were two monetary systems that were running concurrently in Eretz Yisrael. We have in America and Canada or something similar but not the same. We have pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and dollars, and there's a ratio, there's a conversion table between one and the other. Even though they're all called pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters and dollars, but now I think the American dollar is stronger than the Canadian dollar. It used to be for a while, forget, Canadian dollar was strong. And every so often it goes back and forth. There's no fixed amount. So in the days of the Tanoim, they had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, dollars, as they write there. They had two systems. They had Kesef Tzuri and Kesef Medina. So every coin, every penny, nickel, dime, quarter, and so on of the Tzuri system was worth eight times its counterpart in the Kesef Medina. They were different coins. But they were, each one was eight times the penny. And the Kesef Tzuri was worth eight times the penny in the Kesef Medina. And the quarter and the Tzuri was worth eight times the amount. So that's what the Mishnah says. When you have to give five slaim to Yonadan, that's 38, 40 prutas. Which prutas? Which five slaim? Five slaim of the Kesef Tzuri system, or five slaim of the Kesef Medina system? So the Mishnah says, no, five slaim of the Kesef Tzuri system, and the more valuable amount of money. Then it says, not only this Mishnah is talking about Pcheres, this Perek is talking about Pidyon HaBen. Now it generalizes. What's the Din Shloshim Shel Eved? That's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. If you have a Shor HaMuad, a Shor killed three times human beings, three times in a row, so that the fourth time, if the human being that the Shor kills is an Eved Knaini, you have to pay Shloshim Shekel to the Bal HaEved. That's a Knas, Shloshim Shel Eved. If only if it's Shor HaMuad, if the Shor already killed people more than three times, or the fourth time he kills an Eved Knaini, he has to pay Shloshim. So Shloshim Shekel, or Chamishim, 50 slain, or Oynus HaMefata, or Moiti Shemar pays Meyo Shekel. The Gemara in Erechin points out, if the man is Ma'anis the girl, he only pays 50 slain. But if he says Loshon Hara about his wife, that she was Mazani, he has to pay 100 slain. Isn't that interesting? Also, Maisa, Mamish, he rapes the woman, he's ma'anis the woman, or mefata means kemat ma'anis her, so then he only pays 50 sloin. But if he says lashon hara about her, that she was mezana in the marriage, then he pays twice as much. That's a question, is that really, that's an agarata? That's an agarata, that's musa, not to talk lashon hara. Look how chama lashon hara is. Or is it really accurate? You take pay 100 slime because of the Lashon Hara, or you pay 100 slime because it was attempted murder. The Gemara learns that in Ksubis. The Gemara learns that from Ksukim, that the Moitzi Shemra only pays the money if he bribed witnesses to testify falsely that his wife had an affair with someone after he was married with her, that she was Mazana. He bribed the witnesses, so it's attempted murder. He's trying to kill his wife. Maybe the punishment that he gets is not so much for the Lashon Hara, it's maybe for the attempted murder. So that's a whole discussion in the Rishayim, that the Gemara in Erechin has a whole sukkah about Lashon Hara, and one of the things they bring out, look how chomer Lashon Hara is, it's more chomer to say it's not Lashon Hara, it's Moitzi Shemra. The whole story never happened, it's a lie. Lashon Hara is when it's true. When it's not true, then it's called Moitzi Shemra. So the Gemara says there in Erechin, look how chomer Lashon Hara is, Moitzi Shemra is, that also Maisa, if he himself was ma'anis the girl, he only pays 50 shkolim, but if he said Loshna about his wife, then he pays 100 shkolim. That's a shaila, a big discussion. The Mishnah, is that a real halacha or is that just an agar? Okay. So the Mishnah says all of these dinim. Then five sloim, and the 30 sloim for the shoramud kills another kaini the fourth time. He's a shoramud. And he pay chamishim avonis lefatim. That's all kesef tzuri. It's not kesef medina. Kulam nivdim b'kesef u'b'shav kesef. It means pidyon aden. You can be paid the b'kesef u'b'shav kesef. Chut mishkolim. The machzah shekel you cannot use shav kesef. That's where the Gemara quotes the Brisa on the top of Nun Aleph, right before the Mishnah there, just around 10 lines from the top, that there are three cases where we say, Shavu Kesev is Lavki Kesev, one is Matzah Shekel, Moshe claims that's a Din Deraisa, that was his interpretation, and the Yerushalmi, the others interpret Yerushalmi, it's only with the Rabbanan. And then by Pidyam Isasheni, for sure it's a Din Deraisa, he cannot be paid in Isasheni on Shavu Kesev, he can only be paid in Isasheni on Kesev. And the third din for sure is only a din the rabbanon. And sholosh agolim, when you come to the Beis Hamikdash and you want to buy an oilas riya, korban riya, rayon, korban oilas riya, you have to pay, it's a din the rabbanon. And Rashi is going to explain why for Nisham. You have to pay for the oilas riya with kesef, not with shalik kesef. Okay. So first the Gemara has a whole discussion. What are these coins and the kesef tzuri? He says, what do they correspond to? To the Arab coins in the days of the Amorai. So Tosfos is not happy with Rashi's pshat, but it's not too relevant. What does it correspond to? We already know. Pruta is Mishka Chatzisora Kesef Zokuk, the value of pure silver, the weight of a half of an average sized barley grain. If he said you have to have 19-20 full barley grains, so you have 38-40 half barley grains. If you put on one side of the scale 1,920 barley grains and you put silver on the other side, when it's going to be the right weight, that's how much you have to give for a pinyon out of there. So that's what he said. That's 96 grams of chazanish, 96 grams of pure silver. So the Gemara has a whole story. Someone gave money to the coin for pinyon out then, and then the father of the baby said, you have to give me a little more. So he said, what do you mean a little more? You have to refund me. I gave you too much. So there we discuss in the details. That's a serious question. How much do you have to give for pidyon aden? Okay. So we'll start, we'll leave out the Gemara. We'll start here. Around 10 lines from the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara has an asterisk. So it says, Amar Boshia. There was a period in history, Bikshu Lignas, Kalkesel Azav Shabbat. All the money, all the gold and silver coins in the whole wide world, they wanted to say it's all Asabano, because at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Roman soldiers stole, there was tons of money in the Beis Hamikdash and the treasury, and the Roman soldiers stole all the money and the Tegdish, and it's Betarubis with other money. So all the money is a suffix. All the money is Asabano. So the Bikshu Lignos, the Chachamim wanted to prohibit any Jew is not allowed to use gold or silver coins from Yerushalayim until they realized that it's not correct. Until they discovered the pasuk in Yecheskel Shehu Mutter, if the Goyim come and they steal things from the Beis Hamikdash, everything is Yotzei L'chul. What's the pasuk that Shematzel La Mikra Menater Shehu Mutter Shenema? They dug up the pasuk in the Vos Yecheskel, Bo Pritzim, V'chil Eluha. When the Pritzim came to the Beis Hamikdash, and they stole the money for their own purposes, so it's V'chil Eluha, it's Yotzei L'chol. The money is Yotzei L'chol. This is a Gemara. It says, Avodah Zarah Nun Beis on the base, on the margin, and the Masoros HaShad. The Gemara Avodah Zarah raises the question. And the Bayis Sheni, there were different chambers, different rooms in the Bayis Sheni that served for different purposes. One room they kept all the salt for the karbanos, a lot of different rooms. In one room they kept all the behemoths for the tamidim and sofrim, right? So the Gemara says, one room they had sort of the museum of the Avne Mizbeach, the old Mizbeach that was used for Avodah Zarah purposes by the Romans before the Churban, but in the middle of the Bayis Sheni period. The Chashmonaim were victorious, the next Hanukkah occurred, the Gemara says, 204 years before the end of the Bais Sheni period. So before the Hashmonaim came in, the Romans, the Yevonim, at that time, the Yevonim, not the Romans, it was 204 years before the Churban Bais Sheni. So the Yevonim were using the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes. They were makor karbonos for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, when the Hashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, they kicked out all the Avodah Zarah, they threw out all the Avodah Zarah, they had to make a new Mizbeach, and they had to make a new Menorah. We talk a lot about the Menorah, but the Gemara talks they had to make a new Mizbeach, and the old Avonim, the old Mizbeach that was Shiktum Anse Yavon, the Yavonim used it for Avodah Zarah purposes, that's called Shikutz HaMishayim. In Tanakh, the Shikutz refers to Adav Shal Avodah Zarah. So the old Avnei HaMizbeach, since they were used for Avodah Zarah, not allowed to use them anymore for the Mizbeach. So they had to make a new Mizbeach. So they made a museum where they had the old Avnei Mizbeach, and one of the rooms in the Azara had all those Avnei HaMizbeach. So the Gemara says, how did the Yavonim hustle? Let's say I'll come into your home and I'll bow down to your furniture, I deify your furniture. So it becomes asabano. You have a klal, ein on the mosad davashayna shaloi. If you're cooking fleshiks in your kitchen and I pour in milk, you don't say ein on the mosad davashayna shaloi, it doesn't become basa b'chola. Or you're cooking, let's say, soup and I pour in chazashmaltz into the soup, I have a bottle of chazashmaltz. So I make a trade, if you don't say ein on the mosad davashayna shaloi, even if the chazash maltz and the milk would fall in by accident by itself, it would also become treif. You don't need kavanas agav, you don't need das habaylim over there. But to designate something as an avodah zarah, I'm going to bow down, I'm going to deify your furniture. So that to deify, you have to have kavanah l'shem avodah zarah. So I don't own your property. I have no ability to designate your property something other than what you want it to be. Let's say the Gemara has such a, the Taisus has such a din by Muktzah, din of Basis Ledavah Ha'osta. So the Gemara says, if you were Shocheach, you ran home on Friday, and you just made it by the skin of your teeth, you had to take a shower and get dressed, and then you took your wallet and you put it on top of a silver tray in your bedroom. Now you want to use that silver tray on Shabbos. So you're going to say the silver tray became a buses davar also because you put your wallet with the money on top of it. Mor said that was shocheach. He wasn't thinking. But if it's meniach on purpose, if he puts the money on top, he wants the money to stay there the whole Shabbos. He plans to leave the money there the whole Shabbos. Or not only money, let's say he's going to take etzem avonavi off, something that's muktzah. He's going to put it on top of a box. And he plans to leave it there the whole Shabbos. So then it becomes a buses davar also. So Taisus points out, Ein al mosad davashayna shaloi. If I'm a guest in your home, you give me my own bedroom, and I'm going to leave my money, my wallet with my money, on one of the trays in the room, and then middle of Shabbos, you want to use that tray to serve fruits with it. So then you say, Ein al mosad davashayna shaloi. I have no right to designate your tray, your silver tray, as a basis of davarasa. Since if it would have been shacheach, if I would forget it there, I wouldn't be thinking. Wouldn't become a buses. It's not like chazer shmatz, like pouring in milk into the flesh, it becomes also automatically. Here you have to have kavanas habaylim l'shem to leave it there the whole Shabbos. So elan amosad davashayna shaloi. So that's what the Gemara asks. Why did the Hashmonaim have to make a new mizbeach? Because the old mizbeach was used for avodah zarah purposes, but the goyim had no right to designate it for avodah zarah. It didn't belong to them. It belonged to the Jewish people. And for the Gemara, they found a pasuk that it's Yotze L'chulin. When the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash and used the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes, the Mizbeach was Yotze L'chulin and no longer belongs to the Klal Yisrael. It's Yotze L'chulin by the one who used it, L'shem Avodah Zarah. And then the Mela, once it's Yotze L'chulin, it belongs to me. I was Motzi of L'chulin. And I have the ability now, since it belongs, I have the ability to designate it as a mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes. That's the shaila after the Machanot Shesha Tayamim. Are you allowed to daven in the Maros HaMachpelah? So it was a historical debate. Who built the Maros HaMachpelah? was it built by Jews, and the Goyim designated it as the best tefillah for Islam, or was built by the Arabs? So it was built by the Jews, and the Goyim designated for a base tefillah. They have the right to designate it, so we can daven there. It's not considered a church. But if the Goyim paid for the building, if the Arabs built it, then it belonged to them, so they had the right to designate it L'shem Beis Tefillah Shel Avodah Zarah. So then it's not right to daven there. So most assume that it was paid for, the Maros HaMachpelah was paid for by the Jews, and the Arabs had the right to designate it as a Beis Tefillah for Islam. So you say, in almost a double shein shalom. And some of the Frumah are concerned. So they think that maybe it was really paid for by the Arabs, and therefore it belonged to them, and they had the right to designate it as a Beis Tefillah for Islam. And therefore we have the right to daven there. So there's some who will only go the first 11 steps or something. There's a staircase going up to the place where they daven them in the Maros HaMachpelah. So for years, they only allowed the Jews to go the first 11 steps. So the Neturei Karet feel they're all opposed to the Medina. They're opposed to any conquest that was accomplished by Tzahal, by the Israeli army. So they only allowed the Jews to go the first 11 steps into the Maros HaMachpelah. So that's all they walked. They don't want to be nana from anything that was conquered by Tzahal. They don't recognize the conquest of Tzahal. So that's a question whether it's correct or not. Most assume, I think, that the Maros HaMachpelah is built by Jews, and the Arabs had the right to designate it as a Beis Tefillah for Islam. So therefore, you're permitted to use it L'Hatchila for a shul, because they have no right. They pray there now, but they have no right to designate it as a Beis Tefillah for Islam. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Beis. Why did the Hashmonaim have to make a new Mizbeach? Because the Yevonim used the old Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes. But who gave them the right to designate it as Avodah Zarah? Eilan Moshe Dovah Shein Shaloi. So the answer is no, they found this pasuk of Oba Pritzim Chilaluhu. This is a famous machloik, it is there, the Balamor and the Ramban and Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Beis. Who were the Pritzim? So the Ramban says the Pritzim are the Nochrim, the Goyim, the Yevonim, who were using the Mizbeach, Achitzon, for Avodah Zarah purposes. That's what the pasuk in Yechezkel says, Bo, Pritzim, Paritzim, Akum, Vechilaluhu, it's Yotzeluhu. And the Balamor has a Mechudish de Kepshat in the Gemara. He said, not Pritzay Akum, Pritzay Yisrael, the Misyavnim, not the Yevonim, the Jews who were worshipping Avodah Zarah. There's a din that if a Jew is moral behagdish, it becomes b'chayif. If a Jew is moral behagdish b'shege, so he has to pay karen b'chaymesh and bring asham le'ilas. So there the pasuk says, nefesh kisim amal v'chot v'shkog v'nikot she'ashem. At the end of Parshas Vayikra, towards the end. So it talks there about asham le'ilas. You have to bring, you have to give karen b'chaymesh, and you have to bring asham le'ilas. So the Gemara, the Mishnah has to comment that Mishnah is me'ilah. Nefesh kisim amal ein me'ilah elashinei v'shus. When a woman is a tzaita, she becomes a su'al baila. Says it's more mal b'isha means shini mishus. Instead of saying home, living with her husband, she's running around living with someone other than her husband. She's a tzaita vada, not a tzaita sochik. She's a tzaita vada. So just like there, more mal b'isha means shini mishus. So to over here, nefesh k'sil mamal v'chot b'shkogam ikat she'ashan means shini mishus. If a Jew is mal b'hegdish b'shoigi gets yoytzeh l'chulim. How is it Yotzeh L'chulim? So the Balamor has a chiddush. It's considered a form of pidyon. It's considered a form of pidyon. Usually, pidyon hegdush is when us nakes v'kamlo. If the gizbush al hegdush offers it, he's going to have an auction. He's going to give it to the highest bidder. So this fellow, he gives money. So it says, there's a pasuk. Taisu points out there is no such pasuk. You can pick that a word here, word there, as if there's a pasuk that says, that if you have hegdish and the gizba wants to auction it off to the highest bidder, so it says, "V'nos not kesa v'kamlo." There is no such pasuk, but the Gemara reconstructed it as if you're putting together words from different psukim. So when you pay the money, then it's yotzei l'chulin. Hegdish yotzei l'chulin. Here, The Balamar says here, there's a din. If a Jew is Moel Behegdish B'mezid, he's a Pritzin. Pritzin Yisrael, not Pritzin Yaakov. If the Jew would have been Moel Behegdish B'shoigik, it would have been the Chayef to give Kamer Chaymesh. And the Chayef to give the Kamer Chaymesh accomplishes the Pidyon. It's Yotze L'chul. And so here, the Pasuk in Yecheskel is Machadish. Even if he's the Jew, he's Pritzin, he's stealing the Mizbeach, he's using it for his own purpose. He has no right to. Or he's stealing Kasper Vizova Shal Yerushalayim. The Misyavnim and the Beis HaMikdash, or the at the time, the Gemara is going to say, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, many of the Roman soldiers took the money in the Beis HaMikdash for their own purposes. So the Gemara applies a bowl of a pizza mechalalu. So the Balmor learns, it doesn't mean that the Roman soldiers took it. No, that's not the Yotel Chulam. You go to the of Jewish, if a Jewish person is going to steal the money. Pritzei Yisrael. And just like when you moil the Hegdish, any Hegdish that lends itself to Pidyon is Yotzel Chul and Aidei Me'ila. That's a cloud that the Mishnah has. Behem Klisharis are not Yotzel Chul and Aidei Pidyon. So they're also not Yotzel Chul and Aidei Me'ila. But anything other than Behem of the Hegdish, since it's Yotzel Chul and Aidei Pidyon, so it's Yotzel Chul Aidei Me'ila, because the Chiyuv moment that the Torah imposes that you have to pay the Kamer Chaymesh, even though you didn't give it yet. The Torah imposes the Chiyuv, you have to give the Kamer Chaymesh, the Chiyuv to give it constitutes the Pidyon. So here the Torah says, not only if the Jew was Moel Behegdish B'shoigeg, is it Nefesh Kisimo Ma'al, Ein Mila L'Shirim Eshutz Yotzel Chulin, even if a Jew steals it and uses it, demays it, it's also Yotzel Chul. Also Yotzel Chul. Such a thing that would lend itself to Pidyon, so this is considered a form of Pidyon. That's what the Balamor learns. And the Ramban says, everything is wrong. He says, it's Pritzei Akum, it's not Pritzei Yisrael. Pritzei Yisrael, there is no such din. There's only a din if you mow the Hegdish B'shoigig, it's Yotzel Chul. Mow the Hegdish B'mezid, it's not Yotzel Chul. It's only a din, Pritzei Akum. That's a famous machalik, it's the Balamor and the Ramban, and our desire Dafnun base. Who is Moitzei L'chum? So there, Gemara tells this story. What happened? Or it says, Yerushalayim Habi Ruba the Alma. They wanted to asser all Kesev Azov in the whole wide world, because at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, they took a lot of Kesev Azov from the coins in the Beis HaMikdash that was Hegdish, all of us, gold and silver in the world, is a suffix, maybe it's from the Kasper Azov of Beis HaMikdash. It's also about the Gemara said, but let it be bottled very. It's a Taruba. Gemara asked, Yerushalayim Habi Ruba the Alma. Yerushalayim is not the Rav. The Rav is not from the Beis HaMikdash. So let it be Batal B'Rav. The Gemara would appear that money is Batal B'Rav. Money of Hegdish is Batal B'Rav of money. That's not Hegdish. This is a question. The Shef Shmaitza thinks he has a Mishnah there in the Me'ilah. Taisus has a Kasha and Taisus doesn't give a good terence. So the Shmaitza thinks that money is not Mamayna. Mamayna is not Batal as a Din D'Rav. So that's a question. Here the Gemara seems to say, that it is, but maybe they're just talking about gold and silver. Maybe they're not talking about money. They're talking about gold and silver objects, a chunk of gold and silver. But then the Gemara has an ex Gemara. Amar Abaye, Diksha Lignas Dinra Hadrayona Tarayona Shayofa. Neitiva Shol Yerushalayim. They were Madbeis in the Beis HaMikdash. They were a fortune of money they had in Berk HaBayis and the Bayis Sheni. And then the Roman soldiers stole everything, so the Chacham, and all of the Hegdish, the Gemani, got mixed up with Chulin, the Gemani, and the Chachamim, Bikshul Ignaz, Dinar, or the Dinarim, the coins, the Dinar, same thing as the Zeus, 4 dinarim and a shekel. So they wanted to ask all of those coins, the kind of coins that they had in the Berek HaBayis safe, and the Beis HaMikdash were these kind of Dinarim. Hadrian, Rashi translated. Adriana means, with Hadrian was the emperor, with his picture engraved. Tariana means when a different emperor. Tariana is what? Turinus. Turinus was the Caesar. So they had his picture on the money. And the third one is also the name of the king, Rashi says. Shayofa, name of the king. Taisus translate the words completely different. It has nothing to do with Adrianus, nothing to do with Tarianus, whatever. But there were tons of money in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, And the money, the Hegdishnik money, got mixed up with the Chulandik money. They wanted to aser all of the money. It could be over here, even if it would be the meal. The Gemara asked before, how can you aser all the gold and silver in the world? Like, they're talking about chunks, bars of gold and silver. Maybe not talking about money. Maybe money is not bottle men at Torah. Maybe my mind, like bottle is maybe a din men at Torah. But if it's just bars of gold and silver, it's not money. So maybe that's like he said, the Hetta. So that would be bottle beroid. Anyway, that's what they want to ask to all the coins. At Shabbat Salam, at Shetelei, found this person, and he has got Shabbat Salam, Mikma, Tara, Shemuta, Shalama, Boba, Pitz, Michelu. Since either the Goyish priests and the Goyish Roman soldiers stole the money, or the Jews stole the money. Whoever it was, according to the Balamor, the Jews stole the money. And according to the Machlai, original Machlai, the Balamor and the Ramban is about the Avnim, is Bech Shashik Tzum Anshe Yavon. Who were the Anshe Yavon? The Misi Avnim or the Yavonim? The Goyish Greeks or the Jews who were worshipping Avodah Zarah? But here, this is. That was in the days of the Hashmonaim. That was in the middle of the Bai Sheni. But he was talking at the time of Churban Bai Sheni. He wanted to ask all the coins. So who stole the coins? The Jewish, the Balamor is going to say, the Jewish people stole the coins. Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like the Roman soldiers stole the coins. So why should it be Yotze the Churban, according to the Balamor? Okay, so that's a problem. That is a problem.
Rav Shachter, can I ask if, according to that pasuk in Yecheskel, if the Mizbeach was in Avodah Zarah, why would they have kept it in the Lishka then afterwards? It's not Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was possible to use. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the actual deity itself that they bowed out to, that they worship. Or you have, it's Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, Arosa Bahanoa. No, yeah, Avodah Zarah, Aros, Manon, Tikruvus, Aros. There are four things that are Aros. So Tikruvus, whatever, let's say they offered a sacrifice, they offered a korban. So the Shech did the neck of the animal. So that's a Zrika Mishtaberis. If you just take a salami and you put it on the Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah, that doesn't become Asabanon, Mishim Tikruvus. If you Shech an animal, or you break a stick, or you Zorik Dam, or you Zorik water, that's called Zrika Mishtaber. If you broke something, you separated something, that's the Kruv. So the Kruv is Avodah Zarah. Once it becomes Asabana, it's also the Anavoy, it has no Bipul. The actual Avodah Zarah itself, the idol, the pestle that they deify, or the Noye Avodah Zarah, they dress up the Avodah Zarah with a dress, and with a necklace, or with a suit, or with a tie, whatever. So Noye Avodah Zarah is Asabana, but just like the Avodah Zarah lends itself to Bipul. So the Noy Avodah Zarah can also be bottled. And the same thing, Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. Let's say they have a menorah that they use for Avodah Zarah, they have a Mizbeach that they use for Avodah Zarah, they have a knife that the Shech Korbanus for Avodah Zarah. That's Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. So Mishamshi Avodah Zarah are Rosh Hashanah because of their present state. So if you get a Goy, if the Avodah Zarah was worshipped by Goyim, you get a Goy to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, he'll say, I don't believe that this is Avodah Zarah, then it becomes Mutabana. Of the Goy himself who used it originally for Avodah Zarah decides no longer to use it for Avodah Zarah, so that makes bittul, that'll make it mutabahana. Yeah. There are a lot of dinim in Masechus Avodah Zarah. Okay, we better stop here. I forgot to mention originally, tomorrow night I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks to visit all the students who are learning all the different yeshivas. I won't be able to give the shiur for the next 2 weeks, but we have to halt kop. The next time that we give shir, we got to the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph. We're going to start with Nun Amud Beis, the top of Nun Amud Beis. Okay, more details about Kesef Hom, about Torah. How much money do you have to give for Pinyin Aben and so on? We're not finished, and there's a long Taisus here. Taisus on Amud Beis, called Kesef Hom, about Torah. The long Taisus quotes Rashi and Kiddush, and it's two different pshatim. And this Gemara, so Taisus goes through the both Pshatim and Rashi. Rashi here is one of the two Pshatim, the first. Then Taisus goes, well, Rashi Pirish Od Lo Shanachat the Kiddushin. Rashi and Kiddushin has two Pshatim, so Taisus is going to discuss the both Pshatim. Okay, so believe me, there we'll have to take a break for 2 weeks and then we'll continue.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.